Amen. Praise God. I am reading this morning from the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Praise God. This message this morning started one way, took off another way, ended another way, and tried to wrap back around to the first way. Now, just for your fair warning, I may preach 3 messages today. Hallelujah. Now, I probably should save the other 2. This was hard enough to come by. Praise God. Acts chapter number 2. Amen. Now we know what happened in the book of Acts. The Bible starts off there. Chapter starts off when the day of Pentecost was fully come. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They came out of the upper room. And the religious people of the world of that time began to make some comments. Peter began to preach unto them. And the Bible said that when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. Verse number 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourself from this untoward generation." Praise God. Praise God. I have so many thoughts here today. I have so many thoughts here this morning. But being pricked in the heart, the first thing that they asked was, "Men and brethren, what must we do? We need you to tell us what we must do." Of necessity, it is essential. What must we do? And so Peter told them what they must do. He did not tell them this would be a good idea if you did this. He told them what they must do. They had to repent of their sins. They must do that. They had to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. They had to do that. And he said, "You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Amen. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's going to happen. Just as it had just happened a little bit earlier that morning. The Holy Ghost fell upon all of them, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. I know that we could say that Peter was not speaking to a bunch of vile sinners, but he was speaking to sinners. But at the same time, those sinners were described and under the title of religious. They were religious. The Bible said that there were in Jerusalem in that day devout men. They were religious. These religious men needed to repent. These religious men needed to be baptized in Jesus' name. And these religious men would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost just as it had just been received. Praise God. I think that it is so ironic. I know I'm keeping you standing here for just a little bit. Bear with me. I think that it is so ironic that this religious world's perception of religion is accept the Lord. Accept the Lord. I do not find that in Scripture. If it's there, would you please come show me? It's not there. accept the Lord. But what I do find is that we have to do things that are acceptable to Him. That is Scripture. We have to do things that are acceptable unto Him. And if we must do things that are acceptable unto Him, hear the Bible. Hear Scripture today. Bear with me. If we are to do things that are acceptable unto Him, then that means that there are things to be done unto Him that are unacceptable. Unacceptable. Peter said, this is the way that you've got to be baptized. This is the accepted way. There is an unaccepted way. What must we do? This is the accepted way. You've got to repent. There is an unaccepted way. Repentance is a change of lifestyle. You're going to change. You're not going to do the same things that you always did. That's acceptable. Acceptable is changing and doing things different. I'll change when I get the Holy Ghost. You're not going to get the Holy Ghost. He said you got to repent first. I'll get there here in a little bit, but Jesus, Paul told him, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. You've got to be acceptable. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove that which is good and acceptable. And the perfect will of God. We'll get there here in just a little bit. Praise God. That's one of the other messages I was chasing, okay? So there's part one. Amen. I'm not even charging you for it. But I want to preach today from verse number 40. Many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. I want to preach, teach, talk this morning about the lair and the lure. The lair and the lure. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you today. We sure appreciate you, and we thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for your Spirit today. I pray, God, that you would help us here this morning. The power of your Spirit would work amongst us. God, talk to us. Deal with us. God, move and minister unto us, Lord. Let your perfect will, God, be done. Let your perfect will be done. Oh, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you, and you may be seated this morning. Amen. More than likely, a lot of this is weighing upon me because I am trying my best to put together an entire series on holiness, and I am about four lessons into it, and I see it being easily over 20. We're going to be there quite a while. Amen. We'll be like the children of Israel camped out round about the mountain for a few years. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me just try to stay focused on the lair and the lure. The world that we live in today, to a degree, is far different from the world that the apostles lived in, the world that Jesus lived in. Paul, Peter, the rest of them, and or my question is, or is it really? We like to say that. We like to say, well, the world that we live in is so much different, more different than the world that they live in. Let me just go through some things here today that Paul himself dealt with. We see the problems that Paul had to address in his day and age are in reality some of the same problems that we have to deal with in our day and age. It's just in a different dress. It's just in a different coat. Paul dealt with religious opposition. He had to contend with debates, disputes, and attempts to discredit his message and his authority. Who does that preacher think he is telling me what I have to do or what I should do or anything? He dealt with cultural, philosophical influences because the Greco-Roman world was heavily influenced by various philosophical schools and cultural norms. He dealt with church division, church disputes. The early church faced internal conflicts and divisions, and Paul had to address doctrinal disagreements, moral issues, and disputes among believers in different cities. He dealt with personal challenges, hardships, including physical ailments and difficulties, and these hardships tested the resolve of his faith. He dealt with false teachers. He had to confront and refute the influence of false teachers who sought to distort the gospel and to mislead believers. And he dealt with cultural and social customs. He dealt with, and as he addressed these various cultures and social practices prevalent in the communities, such as idol worship, sexual immorality, and social inequalities. And then he dealt with establishing, nurturing, and building churches. Praise God. And so you can see that the world that Paul lived in is not so different than ours, but rather that I think that customs and traditions, styles, and methods definitely have changed. But it's still the same spirit that rules in this day. It's just as back in Shakespeare's day when they had plays and it would be the same character and he would come out and he would have a mask on a stick and he would put that mask in front of him and he became that character. And then he could put that one down and pull another mask in front of him and become, but it was the same individual. And so we are most times dealing with the same spirit just behind a different mask. Let me just bring some things to your attention here today. Paul told Timothy, he said that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Amen. Demas had a love for the present world, a love for the present world. And that world lured him into a lair. That world lured him into a place where sinners occupied, sinners lived, sinners thrived in. And that was the allurement of the world. And so he said, this present world. And in this present world, there is a danger that we all face. And you must understand that some of us face different lures. Some of us are enticed by different lures, affected by different allurement. Things that may affect you have no effect whatsoever at all on me. Things that may affect me may not affect you whatsoever at all. Things that affect the teenagers typically don't affect those that are older and more solid and secure, have come through life. But the things that affect those that are above 50 years of age and even into their 80s oftentimes do not really have any type of enticement to the teenage world or to the young couple world. But the enemy knows this, and so he has a plethora of things and enticements and lures to use to tempt the saint of God. Praise God. And our current world may be more advanced technology, But in reality, it is the same spirit driving the same evil intent behind it. And so the world that we know today, the world that is used in the Bible to symbolize human life and society with God left out of it, it is the devil's lair for sinners. And it is his lure for the saints. Praise God. Let me talk to you here a little bit about that. Amen. We are known. We are made to know. That is, Jesus spoke in John 14 and 30. Jesus said, "Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and have nothing in me." Paul addressed it in 2 Corinthians 4 and verses 3 and 4. He said, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the gods of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." In Ephesians chapter number 2, Paul told the church in Ephesus, amen, "And you hath he quickened," or God hath quickened you, "who were dead in trespasses and in sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Amen. A few chapters later, he would say, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." And so he let us know that the gods of this world are the spirits that rule the evil and the world at this time. And he let us know that the spirits that he faced, the trials, the temptations, the evil prevailings that he faced in his time were motivated by spirits of hell that we can take into this day and time and find the exact same influence today. As a matter of fact, when you begin to study out that phrase or that clause or that little two-letter or two-word thing there, he said, this world, oftentimes it was referred to as this world, this generation, amen, this time. And it just gives an ever-present tense to the situation at hand. And so as Paul was addressing his day and his time, he knew that in the times to come, all the way up until the Lord would come to take his church home, that preachers and churches and saints of God would have to deal with this current world. The problems that Paul was dealing with in his day and time, he understood that they were not going to go away, but they would come and they would have different faces. They would have different allurements. They would come behind different enchantments, different devices, things that he may not have known to be technological, but would come under different technology. But it would be the same spirits, the same thing that he would address and call the gods of this world. Amen. Praise God. Amen. The God of this world, knowing that he hath blinded the minds of
those that would hear the truth. Or can I say it, those, amen, to where the sower goes forth and begins to sow the truth. There is a God of this world. There is a spirit of this world. There are rulers in darkness of this world that are going to never go away, that are going to constantly be there to detract the saint from his journey, to try to deter the saint from the straight and the narrow way. Amen. He understands that there are two paths, that there is a way that is narrow, and few there be that find it, and there is a way that is broad, that leadeth unto destruction, and many go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. Why? It's because of this carnal, Adamic nature that we have. Amen. That is constantly desiring, amen, the fulfillment and the pleasing of the flesh. Hallelujah. It's because of this fleshly nature that we have that is always desiring to please the things of the flesh. It is because of this nature that we have that we get into a place of enmity against God. We strive against God. God's going one way and we're trying and fighting to go the other way. And the soul is pushing one way and the carnal man is pulling the other way. Praise God. It is the lure of this world. Praise God. And Paul dealt with it many times in his teachings. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1. He began to speak to the church that was there. And he said, I beseech you therefore, which basically means I am begging you to listen to me. Amen. It was a word of caution unto the saints that were there in Rome. He said, I am beseeching you, I am begging you, I am cautioning you to listen to what I have to say. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And here he lets it be known that this living sacrifice needs to be holy. It needs to be acceptable unto God, meaning that it can be unacceptable unto God. And he said, and what I am telling you today is only reasonable. This isn't some far-fetched thing. This isn't such a mind-challenging issue here. This isn't something that you need to go down to the local colleges and get a degree in. He said, this is the reasonable thing. He began to talk to the church in Rome in one area. And he said, doth not even nature itself teach you, to the Corinthian church there. But he was talking to the church in Rome. And he said, there are things that the Gentiles do by nature. And how much more you being filled with the Spirit of God ought to be able to recognize there are some things that you ought not to do. There are some things that you ought not to touch. There are some places that you ought not to go. There are some issues that you ought not to deal with. He said these are things that even the Gentiles themselves by nature they understand. This just isn't right. Amen. Is the church with me today? Hallelujah. I feel the unction, the responsibility to preach today. And I'll just say here this morning, I do not know where all of this is going. I very quickly put so much of this together. I had probably 3 to 4 pages of nothing but scriptures there. And as it began, the common thread began to pop out to me. And I began to put more scriptures there. And then there was another common thread of this world that began to come about. And so I went after it, and it wasn't until probably 9:15 or 9:20 that everything began to finally come together cohesively. And so I don't know exactly where it's going to go, but I am teaching us and telling us today that there is a world, number one, that we need to come out from among them. Amen. Separation is not necessarily a church issue. Separation is a God issue. God help us today. Separation is a God issue. Amen. And the policy and the theology and the doctrine of separation started in Genesis chapter number 1, because there was no form, there was no light, there was confusion there. But in the beginning, amen, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But God began to move upon it, and the Bible said that God began. I'm telling you here today, church, listen to me this morning. What we must have to begin with is we've got to have a move of the Spirit. A move of the Spirit. Because when the Spirit begins to move, God can begin to speak. And things that were not began to happen. The earth was without form, but the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters, and God began to speak. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Don't sit there on the pew, amen, and just patty cake. When God is wanting to move, it takes the world, amen, coming together. The church coming together, creating an atmosphere that the Spirit begins to move. And when the Spirit begins to move, the unction of the Holy Ghost begins to speak by the prophetic word of God, and things begin to happen. You're set free from discourse. You're set free from addictions. You're set free from, amen, moral beliefs. You're set free from things that bind your mind. You're set free from the things that have held you captive. When you begin to hear the word of God, and when you hear the word of God, you got to respond. You got to respond by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is a trap of the enemy, amen, to rock the church to sleep and to cause the church to be in a place of complacency. Amen, because the devil knows what he's doing. If I can get the church to go to sleep, if I can get the church to not comprehend, to not understand what is going on in the world, the dangers and the enticements. You say, what are you saying? Jesus said, all you got to do is look around you and begin to observe the signs and the times, and you shall know that the day of the Lord is upon you. Be not weary in well doing. Amen. Be not weary. In other words, you're going to become weary. Praise God. But there is the lure of the world that is out there. And the lure of this world are things that Paul was fighting in his day and age, as he began to tell them, I beg you, I implore you, I'm telling you this with caution. You need to understand this, because there is an enemy that is trying to get you. The God of this world, the spirits of this world, spiritual darkness of the age is trying to get you. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Everybody say, my body. I want you to know today that all of a sudden now your body is not your own. Your body belongs to the Lord. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians 6. Amen. Teaches us, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost and is not yours, but it belongs to the Lord. And Paul began to say to present your bodies. That's not the message of this world in this day and age. I said that's not the message that this world wants us to believe, but the emphatic declaration that is going forth from the world that that we live in is my body, my choice. And I'm not just speaking about abortions. Amen. But this body is mine. I'm going to do with it what I want to do with it. I'm going to take it where I want to take it. I'm going to be what I want to be. And I'm going to live the way that I want to live. Paul said that's not going to work. He said, I beseech you that you present your body a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. God isn't so interested when you draw your last breath and you're put in a pine box somewhere. He wants you now. He wants a living sacrifice. He wants you to live for Him. Why? To be a light of this glorious gospel. To shine. He said, therefore, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and magnify your Father which is in heaven. Praise God. World says it doesn't matter. World said it doesn't matter. Amen. The world has dumbed down the authority, not just of the church, but the authority of the world. Amen. There's no authority. Or let me just say this. The lines of authority have been blurred in the church. The lines of authority have been blurred. I'm not promoting dictatorship. But Paul said, follow me. That's what he told them. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. That was a commandment. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. Later on, Peter said, submit yourself to those that have the rule over you, for they must give an account for you, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you. But the lines of authority have been blurred, not just in the church, but in the home. Amen. Parents do not have parental authority that they used to have. I just say that that's why the prison system is full to capacity in this day and age. It's because parents don't have the parental authority, and parents won't use the parental authority. But that authority was raised in the classrooms. Amen. And teachers don't have authority. Principals don't have authority. Policemen don't have authority. The words of authority and the individuals of authority have been erased. Praise God. But Paul said, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And this is how that living sacrifice needs to be presented. In the Old Testament, we would see that the sacrifice was presented without spot, without blemish. It was to be a lamb of the first year. And so Paul said, this is how your sacrifice needs to be. It needs to be holy. It needs to be acceptable unto God. This isn't a I come to Jesus however I want to come to Jesus. This isn't a I just do what I want to do and God has to accept me. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the Lord needs to accept you. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he said, be not conformed to this world. Oh, Jesus, help us. I preach forever right here. Be not conformed to this world. And if you take that word conformed, it simply means a mold. One of the theologians, J.B. Phillips, said, don't be pushed and pressed into the mold of the world. He said, don't be conformed to this world. You know what conform is? Conform is your ice trays. I know even ashtrays are becoming outdated now because you got ice makers. Well, what's an ashtray? Well, back in grandma's day and age, ashtray was silver. And about so long, it had this little thing that sat inside of it that divided it up, and then it had a handle that came across the top. And you took that and you pushed it and you pulled it and you broke it open, and then when it popped open, then you could turn and you could dump all of the ice out. And then technology got a little bit better, and we had Rubbermaid and Tupperware. Some of you don't even know what Tupperware is. And Tupperware came out with ice trays. And they were plastic that were pliable and bendable. And you could fill it with water and put it into your ice box. And that's what the old timers called it, an ice box. Now it's the freezer. But you could put it there in the freezer. And after a time, it would get hard and become ice. And you take it out and you could twist it. And as you twisted it, it would pop out. And lo and behold, it didn't pop out as stars. And all, it didn't transform. It came out exactly like it was conformed. It was the shape that it was poured into. It came out in those little rectangled cubes that were the exact same depth, amen, of the water that you put inside it. I know that the freezing water expands and stuff. Just stay out of that, okay? But when you take Jell-O and you pour it into a mold and you put it in the refrigerator, and then it takes the form of that. It doesn't matter what you do. When you take a mold, whether it's with a plaster or anything else, and you pour it into that mold, it conforms to that mold. And that's what Paul is stating here. He said, be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't look like the world. Don't act like the world. Don't talk like the world. Amen. Don't do worldly things that are out there. He said, don't be conformed to this world. I don't care if the world is doing it. Paul said, don't do it. You're not of this world. That's what he said. You're not of this world. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're not of this world. Amen. We don't dress like the world. We don't talk like the world. We don't act like the world. We don't accept everything that the world accepts. Amen. The world says, because that we believe in homosexual marriage, you've got to believe in homosexual marriage. I defy that in the name of Jesus Christ. We don't believe that. We don't accept that. And we're never going to accept that. The world is saying, amen, that it's okay to become a transgender. You know what transgender is? It's conforming to something. Transgendering is transforming. Transforming. In other words, you were something. Don't tell me I wasn't a boy. I was born a girl. No, you're a transgender. You transform. You were a boy. And just because, amen, you go to surgical procedures and hormonal things does not change who that you are. I don't care what the world states, what the world says. Amen. The Bible says that God created male and female. It's not the popular message, amen, but it's this world. It's this world. Can you imagine the evilness that is pervading this world? Amen, where homosexuality is just a common thing. Transgender is a common thing. And God help us, but now they're trying to pass laws that little children, 6 years of age, amen, can say mama, and mama takes them down. I think it's child abuse. This isn't the message that this world teaches us. This isn't the message that this world promotes. As a matter of fact, churches all across the nation are now licensing and allowing homosexuals to pastor in behind the pulpits. And they say that it's God. God loves everybody. I want you to know, and I want you to hear me loud and clear here this morning. Amen. If you would be any transgender, any homosexual, anything of that nature, if you go to hell, you will go to hell with the love of God upon you. Because God loves you. I will not deny that. But I will state emphatically that God hates the sin that you're involved in. It is not only disgusting, the Bible calls it an abomination unto God. If you go to hell for that sin, you'll walk through the blood of Calvary. You'll have blood upon your feet. Amen. As you create bloody footprints all the way to the gates of hell. God doesn't want you to go to hell. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that gross moral sin needs to be repented of. Nobody will accept. That's the cry of this world. You've got to accept this. God doesn't even accept it. If God doesn't accept it, I don't have to accept it.
I didn't say we have to be mean.
We don't have to be crude and rude.
That ain't going to happen.
And if it does happen, you're just as wrong as everybody else.
You need me to say that again? I'm not trying to be mean here today, but I feel an unction of the Holy Ghost, amen, to sound an alarm against the sin and the perverseness that is in this world, that is pressing on the gates, amen, the doors of the church, and saying, you've got to accept this. We don't have to accept it. Jesus said, you must be acceptable unto me.
And the spirit of this world wants the church, amen, to just try to dance around it and tiptoe around it. And just, you can say it, just don't be very plain. We're going to make it plain. We're going to make it plain. That's what Amos did in his book. He said, write the book. He said, write the words and make it plain. In other words, when they're said and done reading it, then nobody has any questions. It's just made plain. My Lord and my God, how did I ever get off on this? Because I'll give you my notes right now and nothing of that what I've just said is in there. But he said, be not conformed to this world. And so it lays stress upon that which is external. And we're going to talk about holiness in a few weeks. And I got some things that I want to go first with. But when we get there, we'll talk about external, we'll talk about internal. Because the internal is just as important as the external. I think the world calls it trailers or something like that. You want me to just give you a trailer of it? Don't ask too much, I'll give you a trailer load. Hebrews 12 and 14, he said, follow peace with all men. Without holiness, without no man shall see the Lord. Ooh, Jesus. I'm just going to touch this, okay? I'm just going to touch it. And then I'm going to back off, and I'm going to go back to the scheduled program. He said, follow peace with all men. And there's that little polysyndeton. In other words, given emphasis and importance to both. He said, peace and holiness. I don't care if your dress drags the floor. If you've got an ungodly, warring spirit and it's not peaceable, you're just as wrong. You got to have the heart right. Because as we're going to learn, holiness is relationship. Holiness isn't rules. Holiness is relationship. I think trailers are like 30 seconds to a minute long, right? I love my wife. And I took some vows at an altar with her. And I said, for richer, for poorer. I said a lot of things there. And it was for her and for her only. So I don't tell her that I love her and then go commit adultery. But you know what the rules of marriage are? One of the rules of marriage is that you shouldn't be committing adultery. Don't commit adultery. But you know what? I don't have to think about the rule of no adultery. I don't ever think about that. Why? Because I've got a proper relationship with my wife. You see, there are some things that are in the marriage vow that I don't ever even think about. It makes no difference whether it's there or it's not. I do things because of the relationship. Now back to our scheduled program. My Lord Jesus, help me today. I'm going to have to quit studying. Bible said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can tell what's in my heart.
It's full and bubbling over. I told you, I already got four lessons. And four lessons is just starting a good foundation. We ain't building anything yet. Anyways, back, right here. All right. So, the word for world here signifies the condition of current humanity because it indicates this world. So it signifies the condition of current humanity, which since the fall is spiritual darkness with a nature, tendencies, and influences controlled by the powers of darkness in opposition to God, which is now under the prince of this world. That's the course of this world. That's the gods of this world. That is this world. And Paul says, be not conformed. Be not conformed to this world. And we could talk for a long time, and I don't need to. I just need to move. So the world has its fads and its fashions, and they change with each generation. And the world's molds exert pressure upon us all, not only in such relatively minor matters as dress and in diet, but in such far more serious areas such as life and areas of life such as morals, ethical standards, religious beliefs. This world is the devil's lair for sinners, and it is the lure for the saints. It is human life and society with God left out. Now, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, I know that when I grew up in little sitcoms and stuff, they often had several commercials. So here's another commercial. I want to help you here today, because we're not to be conformed to this world. And we have been called out of darkness, because that's what that is, rulers of the darkness. We've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light, and we are to show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And we are a city set upon a hill. We are a light unto this world. And Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. But the Bible said that men hated hated light. Men hated light because their deeds were evil. I just want you to know that men hate you because you don't conform to their mold. And therefore, they're going to mock you. They're going to resent you. The first thing that they're going to do, I'm going to tell you the first thing that they're going to do. The first thing that they're going to do when you show up with a sense of religion, when you show up with a sense of godliness, they're going to show themselves godly. They're going to show themselves religious. And they're going to try to do what most places do, and they're going to try to tell you how theologically smart that they are. They're going to try to tell you, oh yeah, you know, God loves everybody, and I accepted the Lord, and I believed on the Lord as my personal Savior and stuff. And then you're like, you know, that's not even in the Scripture. That's just the way of the world. They want to tell you all of this stuff that they have heard, but it's not there. Like they'll tell you, well, the Bible says that you're not supposed to judge. Would you like to elaborate on that? Well, I mean, we're not supposed to judge. Okay, let's go see exactly what the Bible says. Because the Bible tells us that one of these days we're going to judge angels. Paul said, I haven't even been there. I've only heard the story and I've already judged it. The Bible speaks about righteous judgment or judging right. And the principle of the matter is that you're not supposed to judge. lest you be judged by the same judgment that you mete out. So you're not supposed to judge. The Bible said that we're not supposed to judge. You're taking a little phrase and pulling it out and coming up with your own definition and theological consensus. And so when you take that and you put it back in, you begin to understand some things. And then when they cannot give you book, chapter, and verse, and that, well, I mean, I can't tell you where it is, but I know it's in there. Okay, well, I'll bring a concordance tomorrow. Or look, I got this Bible app on here, you know, and now what does it say? Well, it says this and this. Okay, well, let's look that up. Okay, well, look, you know, it doesn't have any references, none. Well, I mean, that may not be word for word, but I know that it's in there. Okay, let me show you what is in there. And when you begin to show them what is in there, then they get mad, and then all of a sudden their religion and their theology and their godliness goes out the drain, and then they mock you, make fun of you, ridicule you, and persecute you. They're friends until you cross their theology. They're friends until you start showing them truth. And the deal is and the reason is because that their deeds are evil. Men hate light, light because that their deeds are evil. And so you are a light unto the world. Let me rephrase that. You should be a light unto this world. I didn't say that you have to be holier than thou, but there ought to be a recognizable difference about you that would cause people to wonder, that would cause people to question, to ask, to be drawn unto you. Ask a question. All right? So he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That means to be changed by the renewing of your mind. Praise God. Amen. I know I've been preaching for a little while here this morning. Let me finish this up here today. We understand what Paul taught. Now let's talk a little bit about what Jesus taught. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 13 and verse number 22, Jesus was speaking concerning the sower that went forth to sow. And Jesus said, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and become unfruitful. I'm talking about the lair of the sinner and the lure for the sin, for the saint. You understand that the sower is the exact same individual. And you understand that the seed is the exact same seed. The only thing that has changed is the ground. That's it. That's the only thing that has changed. The ground. There was stony ground. There was ground by the wayside. There was ground that was infested with thorns. And there was good ground. There was four types of ground. There was one sower. There was one seed. Four grounds. And all four had different reactions or results. And so Jesus, when he talked about this, he said that the seed is the word of God. And the sower, obviously, is the one that's giving the word of God. And then you get to decide what kind of ground that you are. And this is what Jesus said. He that receives the seed will just say the word of God. Among the thorns is he that heareth the word, but yet the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, the seed, and he becometh unfruitful. And so Jesus let us know that it is the cares of this world. You may have taken out the rocks that are in the ground. And you may have dug down deep to create a soil that is capable of taking the seed. But if you have not taken care of the cares of this world, the thorns, if you still have a love for this world, then the love for this world is going to choke out everything that is spoken, taught, preached in the house of God. And then you're going to come to this conclusion. I'm just going to find me a different church. It's not the sower's fault. It's not the seed's fault. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but the seed will remain the same forever. Jesus said, the flowers of the world, the pretty things of this world, are going to fade away. And the lush green grass that was so fertile is going to wither. But the seed, the word of God, is going to remain constant. I'm going to tell you where the problem is. The problem is that you no longer want corrected. You want to be contented. It's the same word of God. It's the same word that Paul preached. That's why we can use Paul's scriptures to deal with the same spirits. We use Paul's scriptures to deal with immorality. We deal with Paul's scriptures to deal with separation from the world. We deal with Paul's scriptures concerning a lot of things because the seed remains the same. But it's the ever constant pressure of this world trying to get the church to conform to its mold. And we can't do that. Let's stand here this morning. My wife sent me a text this morning, a picture of something that she had seen. And she sent it to me, and it just fits right here. Some of you may know this, may not know this, but there are churches in this area today that the theme of the service today is at the movies. And their churches have been decorated out to a theme of a movie. There's three themes in this area, in this general area. There are three themes. So three different movies that these churches are decorated out to. And so what they're doing is all of these people, thousands and thousands of people, are going to come to church today, or what is called church. And this pastor is going to be beamed in via satellite. That's just a sense of no authority right there. This pastor is going to be beamed in via satellite. And he's going to teach scriptural basis from these movies, what these movies are teaching us scripturally. I mean, why can't we just go back to the Bible? I mean, isn't that a novice idea? I don't go find a good thought and then go find Bible to support my thought. If I were to show you my sloppy copy, as the teachers used to say it, typically, many times, even like this morning, I went and dropped my stuff off in the office, and I was coming in here to pray, and I was walking out, and I didn't have a pen and a paper, and I just felt the Lord impress upon me, so you don't expect me to talk to you, do you? It's like, whoops, hold on a second. Went and got me a pen and paper, bring it in, put my pen and my paper down, and start because I'm expecting God to talk to me. And he talks to me through his word and then scriptures and stuff come. And so I'm writing down scriptures and parts of scriptures and stuff like that. And then I go and I begin to build off of that. But it's the lair of the world and the lure for the saint, the lair for the sinner. That's what they live in. That's who they are. And it's the lure of the saint. Oh, come over here. If you come over here, you don't have to do that. Look, I don't have to do anything. I really don't. Because that I'm married, I could go have an adulterous affair if I wanted to. It would definitely affect our relationship. But I could do whatever I want to do. I could drink as much alcohol as I wanted to drink. I could smoke as much dope. I could snort as much coke. I could do whatever I wanted to do. But the deal is because that I love my Savior so much. Number one, I know and I realize I belong to Him. And so I want to please Him. And because of the relationship that I have with Him, I've drank as much alcohol today as I wanted to drink. I've smoked as many cigarettes as I wanted to smoke. I've said as many cuss words as I wanted to say. Done everything that I've wanted to do. The deal is I just didn't desire to do any of it. Not because of rules and regulations, but because of relationship. And so the lure of the world is, you know, come over here. You don't have to do those things. Come over here. We don't, you come to our church looks like a movie house. Come over here to our church and God will just accept you the way that you are. Come over here. It doesn't matter how you live and that doesn't matter. Just come over here. Lure. The lure of the saint. And the lair of sinners. The lair. The lair. You know what the lair is. If you get lured into the lair, you want me to tell you what you're going to find? You're going to find darkness. Overwhelming bitterness. Anger. Vile. Molestations. Theft. Murders, dark, filthy world. And that's what you want to go be a part of? I'll stay in the house of God. Huh. David was in the lair for a while. As he sat in Saul's house at the table, he had to stay cautious and alert because at any given time, Saul was apt to pick up a spear and throw it at him. And he was running. He ran out of the house and he ran through the caves and through the nights and the wet, damp areas. And David said one time, he said, and I was glad. And they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And then later on, he said, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Praise God. Oh, today would be so easy to preach 2 hours, but I'm not going to. I'm going to stop. And I'm just going to simply say this. Some of you are being lured to a lair. Some of you are being lured and enticed to conform. And the cares of this life, you want me to give you the definition of that? the things in this world that you care about. The cares of this life. There's a lot of things out there that they've got your attention and you've got some care. You don't need to be caring about some of those things. Worldly individuals, you don't need to be caring about that stuff. I didn't say not to love the sinner. You know that's not what I'm saying. But you do understand what I am saying. There is a lure that is enticing you. There is a voice that is calling you. There are voices that are whispering to you, luring you. Come, come. Oh, you know you want to do this. Come, come. The lure, the lure, the lure that is out there. Jesus said, Peter said, Paul said, it's this world. And Peter stated emphatically, save yourself from this generation, this vile, perverted, pornographic, evil generation. It's there. It influences you. You know how I know it influences you? Because you're red-blooded. Sin is alluring. Sin is enticing. That's why Paul said, you got to present yourself a living sacrifice. The problem with that living sacrifice, it just keeps getting off of the altar. And you grab that sacrifice and you take it back to the altar and you put it back on. You say, no, right here is where it's got to happen. And it walks back off and goes chasing the worldly things. And you got to grab it by the neck of the nap, by the nap of the neck. And you got to bring it and you got to put it back on the altar. And you got to say, right here, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Amen. These altars are open here this morning. You need to come. The lure of the lair. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, if the world looks good, you need to be coming down here. Come on, don't let the world lead you. Don't let the world tempt you. Don't let the world persuade you. Don't let the world influence you. Amen. You just need to present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. You got to bring it back up to the altar. You got to lay it back down upon the altar. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, that's what we all do. That's what I have to do. Amen. Where none of us are perfect. You just got to go back to that altar again. Amen. That's what Paul said. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. Is it what the world is pushing? Then I probably don't need to do it. Is it what the world, amen, is trying to legalize? Then I probably don't need to be doing it. Amen. Is it what the law, what this world is promoting? Then that's probably what I don't need to be doing. Amen. Don't be conformed to this world, but be a transformed. You're going to have to change. Amen. How's that going to change? Amen. You're going to have to go into your mind and program some things out. Amen. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You say, how easy is that? That's not very easy. I'm just encouraging you. Get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Don't take for granted that the Word of God just simply says, amen. That's what you've been told for years and years and years. Well, the Bible says, amen. If you've got an issue, you come talk to me. Pastor, where does the Bible say this? And I will help you. I'll show you. I'll show you the principle. Or I'll tell you, it's not in there. I'll tell you why it's in there. I'll do everything I can to help you. Amen. But you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable. The acceptable thing, it can be unacceptable. It's got to be acceptable unto God. Is what I'm doing, is it acceptable unto God? Amen. He said the acceptable and the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Yeah.
amen, the gods of this world, the spirits of this world. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds, lest they should see the glorious gospel of Christ and come out. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 2, he talked about and he said, amen, you were dead in trespasses and in sins. Amen, because you walked according to the prince and the power of the air, the gods of this world. But God stepped into your life. God came into your life. God started changing some things in your life. God enlightened some things in your life. Oh, God. Amen. Come on, don't be that one that wants contented, that one that wants coddled, that one that wants to be told everything that's okay. Amen. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. That's what matters. I don't want to be lost in this world. Amen. And go to hell. Amen. With every evil, vile spirit that is there. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. If I need correction, correct me. If you only knew the times that I prayed that as a preacher, the times that I prayed that as a pastor. Amen. I've said it many, 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 many times. God, if I'm going in the wrong direction, I want you to help me. I want you to correct me. I can't afford to be misguided. I can't afford to be misdirected. I can't afford to be wrong. God, if I'm wrong, correct me and help me. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel good to be corrected. I've experienced the, amen, the pain of correction. But oh, oh, when it's all said and done, I'm so thankful that God loved me enough to correct me. I'm so thankful that God loved me enough to show me. Yeah, the light of His Word was a little hurting to my eyes. Oh, but today I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for it.